Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Dr. Kinlow is teaching the second part of his sermon broadcast yesterday. In this sermon, you're going to be reminded of who God is. You may be thinking, oh well. But we need to be reminded of who God is every day. He is holy. Understanding who He is ought to produce a sense of awe, humility, obedience, and reverence. Let's listen and learn.
They all equally possess and share one and the same substance of God, one and the same essence of God. They share one and the same knowledge of God. They share one and the same power of God. They share one and the same omniscience and omnipotence of God. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ could say, the Father and I, we are one. We are distinct in person, but we are the same thing, the same essence, the same substance. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ could say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Why? Because they share one and the same essence and substance of God. There is an order of submission in the persons of the Godhead or the Trinity. The Father sent the Son, and the Son and the Father sent the Holy Spirit. The Son glorifies the Father, and the Spirit glorifies the Son.
Amen.
These are things we need to understand about God.
Yes.
When you don't want to hear that, it is turning your heart away from God. This one true and living God is holy, or absolutely free and separated from all sin and all moral and ethical defilement and pollution. Isaiah 6, 1 through 5. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, with the trail of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim, that's a class of angels, stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Notice the angels cry out holy three times. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy is the Holy Spirit. The whole earth is full of the glory of Yahweh, the great Lord God we serve. God is holy.
Amen.
Yes.
And so when people say, God made me homosexual, that's a lie. God is not making abominations.
Amen.
This one true and living God, he loves. He's merciful. He saves from sin. But he also wounds, he kills, he heals, he blesses, he curses, and he judges according to his own will and purposes. Deuteronomy 32, 39, this is God speaking. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I am wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. There are many more things we could list in reference to under the understanding of God, but these will do in informing us that we must not turn our hearts and minds away from God, away from the understanding of God. Or when we fail to strive to understand God in as much as he has revealed himself to us in nature, his word, and most importantly through his son, Jesus Christ, is to turn away from God. One of the best evidences that man as a whole all over this world has turned his understanding and heart away from God is this. We believe the climate's going to kill all of us. Now, who's greater? The one who created the climate? Or the climate that is in submission to God? Where you get all that from, Pastor Kendall? Let me digress Jesus is in the boat. He is sound asleep. He had been teaching and preaching all day. He got in the boat weary, and he lay in the boat and went sound asleep. The disciples are rowing across the sea, the Lake of Galilee, and a great windstorm comes up, and the boat is filling up with water, and they're trying to bail the water out, and they're trying to row, and finally they understand this is a lost cause. We are all about to drown. And I love the King James. They cried out, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus wakes up, and in the Greek, he tells the climate and the elements to shut up. "Don't you tell me I'm trying to sleep down here." And the water became perfectly calm. Yeah. And they said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" We are worshiping the climate, but we don't understand the one who created the climate. Yes. Based on this, it appears to me that way too many professing Christians turned away from God. For too many know virtually nothing about God because they care not to know God. There is a difference between not knowing but having a desire and a thirst to know God, and you are willing to learn. That's one thing. But it is a grave state to be in when one considers the knowledge of God to be boring and not worth one's time and effort, because you'd rather come to church and shout or listen to some good music, or see a preacher get in the pulpit and clown. Then Moses say, you know, your heart turns away from God. And he goes on in verse 17 to say, and you will not listen to God. There seems to be a progression of steps that lead to death and adversity. In other words, first one does not or refuses to understand God. Your heart turns away from God. And the result of this is you will not listen to God. If you don't want to understand God, why would you listen to God? When one has no understanding of God, they will not listen to God. Or more accurately, they will not listen to the word of God, the voice of God in the scriptures. If one cares not to understand God as much as one can through the revelation of God, nature, scriptures, most importantly in his son, Jesus Christ, it is a natural progression to care not to listen to the voice of God through the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Folks that I don't care to understand, I'm not listening to them. I don't give a hoot about these Hollywood actors and actresses. Amen. Come on. I don't. Therefore, when they start pontificating wisdom and knowledge, I ain't listening to you. You're just an actor or an actress on stage or on screen faking it, something not even real. I don't want to understand you, and therefore I'm not going to listen to you. Same is true with God. If you care not to understand God, you're not going to listen to God either. The world of unredeemed men and women do not want to listen to the voice of God through the scriptures handled accurately, except faking it during the election season to get votes from professed Christians who also will not listen to God through the scriptures handled accurately. But they want their ears tickled, for they enjoy myths rather than the word of God handled accurately. I know I'm convicting somebody today, but I'm way beyond trying to please the folks here, there, anywhere. All these politicians just recently were in pulpits and in churches. You won't see them again until another 4 years. And we're stupid enough to keep letting them up in here, clapping out of time, don't know what they're talking about, sitting looking totally confused. Come on, church, somebody say amen today. Yeah. We don't want to listen to God, but when it's election time, we want to fake that we do for votes. Another evidence that a nation or a person will not listen to God is they have a very short attention span when it comes to a biblically and doctrinally sound sermon. 45 minutes is just too long. you know, Pastor, he preaches good, but he's just too long. Normally, I'm up 45 minutes or less. He has some good things to say, but he, at 31:03, he just lost me. No tolerance for a good 45 minutes of the Word of God handled accurately. What that means is you really don't want to listen to God. Contrast that to having the capacity to sit attentively for long periods of time, giving your undivided attention to TV, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Elon Musk, X, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Newsmax, ABC, NBC, CBS, People Magazine, Ebony Magazine, Jet Magazine, Life Magazine, Glamour Magazine, y'all got a stack of that stuff that high at home, and you done read through all of it. 45-minute sermon. He just need to cut that down. And y'all going to leave here and be glued to that Fox News and CNN for the rest of the night. Another evidence that people will not listen to the voice of God through the scriptures is you get ticked off and angry after hearing a sermon that convicts you of some error in your life. The point is, the lack of understanding God is inseparable from turning away from God. And when one turns away from God by not understanding God, this is always followed by not listening to the voice of God through the scriptures. And then last, he says, but are drawn away and worshiping other gods and serve them. Verse 17, see, listen, there's a progression here. When there is no understanding of God, there will be no listening to God. And when one does not listen to God, eventually one will be drawn into the worship of idols, false gods that be no gods at all. When one has no understanding of God, when one does not listen to God, the unavoidable result is idolatry, the worship of other gods, the replacement of God with those things that be not God at all. You will replace Jesus as the Lord of your life with somebody else or something else to be the Lord of your life. You will replace the Holy Spirit being the one who leads and guides you into all truth through the scriptures to somebody or someone else. Oprah will be your guiding light. And she can't even help herself. Somebody go ahead and say amen today. Oprah said it. She's been struggling with French fries her whole life. I heard her say it. I ain't made a French fries I've ever disliked. And that's your guiding light. Sit up there and listen to that, shaking her head like she's saying something deep. Oprah is an apostate witch. Amen. Into all kind of new age and all this booty, booty, booty stuff. She thinks she's a goddess. She's a witch. That's what the Bible calls them. Sorcerers. And witches. She's a witch. Because that's witchcraft. That's your guiding light now. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another just like me. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll bring to your remembrance all that I have spoken to you. He leads us. He guides us. When one has no understanding of God, one will not listen to God. The unavoidable result is idolatry, the worship of God, the replacement of God with things that be no gods at all. Listen very carefully. I'm going to sit down. This is very similar to what we see in nature. There's a maxim or principle in nature that says this. You probably heard it before. Nature abhors a vacuum. Nature despises a vacuum. Nature despises an empty space. You can see this in nature easily. When a piece of ground is laid bare or void of any vegetation of any sorts, it will never remain a bare piece of ground. For nature will fill up that once bare piece of ground with all kinds of weeds and thorns and thistles and other things that are good for nothing. Go home. Well, you can't do it now, it's winter, but in the springtime, just carve out a circle of your nice grass down to nothing but bare dirt. And just leave it. And you'll see the nature abhors a vacuum. It'll grow up with weeds and thistles and every just leave it there and nature, it'll take care of it. It's going to fill it in with normally bad stuff. The same is true when there is an absence of God from the midst of a nation or a person.
Yes.
In other words, when there is no understanding of God, there is no willingness to listen to the voice of God through the scriptures, that void in a nation or a person's life is going to be filled and occupied with that which is not God, but a false idol God. God made man to worship. And when man does not worship God, they're going to fill that void. They're going to fill that vacuum up with someone or something other than God. There is no such thing as a permanent spiritual vacuum. Some kind of spirit is going to take the place of God. This happened over and over to the people of Israel. Israel constantly fell in idolatry, and they worshiped Baal and Molech and Nehushtan and Asherah and Dagon. We read of an example of this in Ezekiel 20, 15 through 16. God says, I also swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands, because they rejected my judgments and my statutes. They did not walk in them. And they profane my Sabbaths, for their hearts continually walk after their idols. The New Testament warns us about idolatry. 1 John 5:21, little children, guard yourselves from idols.
Yes.
Idolatry does not just slip up on a nation or a people or a person unawares, for there is a progression that always leads to idolatry. It consists of turning away from God by an unwillingness to understand God. Next come not listening to the voice of God. The end result, there are no exceptions, is always idolatry. The worship of other gods consisting of things and persons and animals that be not God at all. Let me give you an example of the epitome of idolatry. And this is true. Several weeks ago, I was watching TV. I think it's called TMZ, which I very seldom watch TV anymore. I don't know how I stumbled upon it some kind of way. And there was a man and his wife being interviewed, and they had broken down in tears, claiming their lives would never be the same because their pet squirrel, Peanut, who had become an Instagram star, was euthanized or put down by the Department of Game and Fish after Peanut bit somebody. And they were just brought, lives will never be the same. Peanut brought so much joy to our lives. First, it is illegal to keep wild animals as pets in one house, for eventually wild animals will be wild animals and will bite your face off. That includes a squirrel. A squirrel's bite is powerful enough to penetrate your skull into your head. I'm a squirrel hunter. I've seen these squirrels, they get these hickory nuts. You can't open one with your bare hands. In order to break a hickory nut, you can't even break it with, you know, the nut cracker you get. You can't do it. You gotta get a hammer and bust them. A squirrel bite right through it and be looking at you nibbling. I watch just the nuts just dropping out tree. Now, if he can bite through that hickory nut, he can bite through your head. And given enough time, a wild animal gonna be a wild animal. He gonna do what he do. And then we gonna be wondering, why did Peanut bite that man? Because that's what Peanut do. Second, after Peanut bit somebody and had to be put down, people didn't understand they had to put him down because he bit somebody, because they wanted to make sure Peanut was not a carrier of rabies, salmonellosis, tularemia, the plague, ringworm, Lyme disease, and leptospirosis. Third, if Peanut showed himself during the squirrel season to the eyes of Dr. Kinlow, he's in grave danger of being covered with gravy and a side of rice and a green vegetable and a big hunk of cornbread. Hot water or baked will do. Now, if you're having squirrel and gravy Jiffy mix, ain't gonna get it done. You need real cornbread. And animal rights people are crying out for the justice for Peanut the squirrel. This is idolatry. We kill babies in the womb and don't even give it a thought. But at the same time, crying out for justice for Peanut the squirrel. I'm serious. Go home and Google it, Peanut the squirrel. I'm not lying. They want justice for Peanut the squirrel. When Peanut the squirrel was created by God to be covered in gravy. The point is, I know y'all looking at me funny, but I'm telling you, squirrel is really good. I know y'all don't want to hear that, but it's really good. I've been trying to coax my wife for 40 years to take a bite, and she won't do it yet. I'm going to have to sneak it in some kind of way. She be frowning her nose up. It smells good, but I ain't messing with that. I'll be telling her, this is the good stuff, honey. You eating this inferior chicken over here. You don't know what they didn't deal with this. Your husband killed this fresh out the woods. The point is this. The end of forsaking God by not even having a desire or aspire to the understanding of God, not listening to the voice of God through the scriptures, it always ends in a spiritual vacuum. And that spiritual vacuum will be filled with idols and the foolishness of idolatry. Foolishness that was spoken of many times by the prophets in the Old Testament. One of my favorites is in Jeremiah 10, 1 through 3. Hear the word which Yahweh speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations. He's talking about pagan nations. And do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations fear them. God is telling his people, don't be afraid of the signs in the heavens, even though the pagan nations are afraid of that stuff. What's that mean? Don't be afraid of climate change. We're all gonna die in 10 years because the climate will be here when you're 6 feet under. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Climate change. Climate been changing. I'm not worried about climate change. I'm not worried about an ice shelf falling on me as I go to my grill to grill my steaks. Don't be afraid of all of this stuff, God says. For the statues of the people are vanity because it is wood cut from a forest, the work of the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. They make it beautiful with silver and gold. They strengthen it with nails and with hammers so that it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field are they. And they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot take a step. Do not fear them, for they can do no harm, nor can they do any good. Just as idolatry was a constant problem for the people of Israel, I truly believe it is a constant problem in the world today, inclusive of the people of God. And the big idol in the world today is politics. Amen. Let me say this and sit down. If you believe Donald Trump can save America, this is idolatry. Amen. For God is the only one who can make a nation great. Amen. For the scriptures declare, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33:12. Now let me get to you other folks on the other side of the aisle. If you believe we're doomed because Trump has been elected, that's idolatry. It shows just how much you don't trust God. Either way, it's idolatry. If you believe you're doomed because Donald Trump is being elected, we're all going to die. I've never seen this before in my life. It's idolatry. Because no man rules amongst the nations. Psalm 22:28, and I'm going to sit down. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations.
Yes.
I ain't missed a night of sleep. I ain't missed a night of sleep because a Republican or a Democrat was in office. Now, this cold or sinus mess up my sleep. Nope. Man, shoot, man. It's idolatry. Drove to the supermarket one day and in the car park. I'm going to sit down. I ain't preaching in 4 weeks, so I got to get out of my system. I drove to the supermarket the other day, and I pulled into the parking space. And, you know, I pulled in, and there was a car in front of me facing me. And I'm looking in the seats. I'm looking in the passenger seat. And I said, is that Donald Trump in the truck? It looks like Donald Trump is in the car waiting for this man to come out to the store. And I got out of my truck and went to the window. He had a mannequin of Donald Trump in the passenger seat. It's idolatry. And all these folks on the other side, Christians, we're not going to make it now. All you are doing is revealing your trust is not in God. It is in man. It is idolatry. We ought to have, I'm going to sit down, no other gods before us.
Yes.
God is God, and he rules amongst all men and all nations.
Yes.
And I'll be here as long as God has ordained me to be here.
Yes.
And nobody can stop you or me, can prevent anything God has ordained for our lives to his glory and his glory alone.
Yes.
We are in the hands of the true and the living God.
Yeah.
God has never failed. God has never lost a battle. He's not going to lose a battle. And Jesus proved that to us because not even death could hold his body down.
Yeah.
On the third day, he got out the grave and said, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? He swallowed up death in victory. This is the God that we serve, and we serve him and him alone.
Amen.
I'm not going to get to 18, so I'll get it next time. Let's pray.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today for Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Tune in tomorrow as he continues to teach the Scriptures. If you would like to support the radio ministry of Word of God Community Church, visit our website at wogcc.org and click the Give button. Help us spread the gospel throughout Ohio and the world.